Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, 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 what's going on, everybody? It's Lean Keys, Real Talk with episode 85,000. We're about to break down tonight's fights. We have Marlon Moraes and Rafael Assuncao, bantamweight. What I think is a number one contender fight for the bantamweight division. That's the main event of tonight's ESPN Plus Fight Night card. I'm pretty sure it's an all ESPN Plus card, which I'm happy about because last time having to go from now the prelims are, you know, having to go from ESPN Plus then go back to regular TV and then having to go back to ESPN Plus was really, I mean, with all the complications with the streaming the ESPN Plus period, then having to go back and forth and get it back on was just, that was a pain in the ass, to be honest. So I'm glad this is all ESPN Plus so I could just watch the prelims and the main card all the way straight through. So how you doing today, Lee?
Ah, man, I'm good, man. Saturday, man, nice little fight card we got tonight for fight night. You know, I'm excited, man. I'm actually, once we get off, once we close out our show today, I'm going to actually get the ESPN Plus app. So, yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah.
And it's Super Bowl weekend, so, yeah, man, it's all good.
Yeah, Super Bowl tomorrow. That's just true. I was just talking to somebody last night at the bar, and she was saying how she's from, like, Rhode Island or something, but she didn't, like, she's not really, not necessarily a Patriots fan, but she's not a Patriots fan. She just kind of, like, watches whatever sport she can. So she was, like, asking us about, like, how we feel as New England fans being in the Super Bowl again. And I was just like, okay, well, the thing is this, is that we're excited, but it's like we're kind of used to winning here. So, like, you can't really expect us to be that hyped. So, like, you know how this goes. We've been here a million times, so it is what it is. But, you know, for someone like you, I told her it's probably a little bit more exciting because you don't really know. Like, she was saying, who do you think is going to win? Like, she was really confused, and I was like, it's probably better for somebody like you because you're able to just watch the game and be fascinated by both teams and really say, you know, look at it objectively that way. So I was like, it's probably better. It's going to be a better watch for somebody like her. I mean, it's still a good watch for us. But it's just that, yeah, we know how we've been here. It's not our first rodeo, so I don't really know how to word that.
Yeah. You know, and plus, you know, people that's really not big sports fans, you know, they actually enjoy the game more because, you know, us as, let's say if I was a Rams fan, you watching under duress the whole time, you know, every play means some, you know, so you're sitting there like, man, oh, man, we got to do better, you know. So you don't even get to really enjoy the game because you're so worried about what your team doing. But, yeah, you know, casual fans are funny because most of them really don't know the rules to the games and stuff like that, rules to the fights, you know. They just, you know, they just taking in the event. So, you know, but tomorrow I'm hoping for a good game. But tonight I'm hoping for even better fights. So,
yeah, man, do you think the main event is a number one? I think the main event and the co-main event might both be a title eliminator fight. I mean, I don't know about Aldo because I know Aldo's planning to retire later this year, so he only wants to do a couple more fights in Brazil anyways, so it would be kind of, I don't know how that would be to put him in another title fight, especially if he lost. I mean, he can't, his chances in that realm is kind of already up, I think. But for Marcano,
Did you see the tweet that came out that said he wants to fight Pettis before he retires?
Who said that?
Aldo.
Oh, no, I didn't see that.
Yeah, it was a tweet that came out either late last night or early this morning that he wants to fight Pettis before he retires. But on with you, I think both fights on the co-main and the main event are number one contender fights. Unless Aldo wins, I don't see him getting another crack at Max. But if Moicano wins, I think he'll get the winner of the Max Holloway Frankie Edgar fight, which hasn't been made yet, and I don't understand what's taking so long. But I'm quite sure that whoever wins the Sun Sal and Moraes fight would definitely get the next crack at TJ. I think Henry Cejudo needs to fight against Bermudez, and then if he beat Bermudez, then he can try to go up to 135 and fight for the belt. But I'm just not feeling him.
I think you meant Benavidez, not Bermudez.
Benavidez, he just retired. Yep, my man, he just retired. Yeah, I think he should fight Benavidez, and then, you know, if he wins, then maybe he can go up to, to 135 and fight the winner of the TJ versus the winner of tonight's fight.
Yeah, I hope they don't jump right back into a rematch with those two guys, because I want to see some. Like, I already said this the last show, is that I want to see champion versus true contender, not like all these super fights.
Exactly.
It's getting like, man, I guess it's cool to see for the casual fans. So, I mean, they'll probably do it. We'll probably see a rematch with them two guys, and we won't get these champion versus contender fights, I bet, because, you know, people bring up a good point saying that, you know, I saw a guy the other day saying that, you know, hardcore fans like us need to realize that we are not the target audience. You know, a lot of these fights are made for
the casual fan.
Exactly. You know, they're made for the fans who, you know, the ooh, ah, you know what I mean? Those kind of fans. Like, you know, the fans who want to see, you know, all these big, giant, you know, Brock Lesnar fights and all this. Like, it's made for the fans who are fascinated by that. Me, I'm not fascinated by that. You know, Brock Lesnar don't move my needle at all. I really don't care. See him fight in the octagon. I know a lot of people do, but that's, I'm entitled to my own opinion, and I really don't care to see that guy fight. So, but I mean, a lot of it is made for the fans. You know, a lot of it is a lot of it is made for the fans who do want to see him fight, and that's probably the reason why, you know, that we'll see that rematch before we'll see, you know, the winner of, you know, Moraes and a Sunstyle tonight, which is kind of sad, but you know, that's it looks like that's most likely the way it's going. I mean, especially with the numbers that they did with the first ESPN card. You know, I'm sure they wouldn't mind booking a rematch for another big ESPN card, you know, in the spring sometime. So,
we'll see. But I'm with you, though, man. You can't go after the casual fan. You actually have to keep your core fan base interested in your product, because we're the ones that's going to be there through the thick and thin. We're the ones that's going to be there to support the UFC, you know, long after Dana White retires and stuff like that. And the casual fan, they are just there for a form of entertainment. You know, they might be at a bar or something and a fight just happened to be on. You know, they might be on Twitter and it's a lot of retweets and conversation about a certain topic, you know, and basically they seeing all this Twitter traffic and, you know, it might spark their interest. But for me personally, the UFC should be more interested in what we as the hardcore fan care about than what the casual fan care about. Because the casual fan, only thing they really going to do is they'll come out and watch the big fights. Like tonight, they might not even care about a fight night card. I don't think they care about the pay-per-view card, because pay-per-views are normally the are mostly stacked cards, and they normally carry championship fights. Like, so that's why I think the UFC needs to actually concentrate on us, the hardcore fan, instead of the casual fan.
I mean, at the same time, we're starting to see more. You know, now that they have the ESPN, I know you said that you think the ESPN deal isn't, you know, is not as good as the Fox deal. They should go back to Fox. It's just, I'm saying that one thing I noticed with the ESPN cards is, you know, it might just be, you know, a quote-unquote luck of the draw, you know, kind of thing, you know, with just the timing of, you know, guys like Cain Velasquez just being able to come back to fight in 2019, right around the time that the UFC has signed a huge deal with ESPN. So now you can have fights like, you know, Francis Ngannou versus Cain Velasquez, two heavyweight monsters, you know, clash in a main event for, you know, one of the next few ESPN cards. And to just have, like, a fight like that is a big fight. And it doesn't need to have a title on the line to be a big fight. So that's the kind of stuff that, you know, it, like I said, it could just be luck of the draw with the timing just being completely off random and, you know, things just, you know, accidentally, you know, falling into place, or they're just, you know, the matchmaking, they're just really trying to dig deep and look for those, you know, high-level non-title fights that people can be equally as excited for without there being any UFC gold on the line. And that kind of is one thing, you know, regardless of the ESPN, that honestly I'm a fan of. I like the fact that, you know, the matchmakers are trying to put together these main events like that where you don't need to have, you know, and while I'm saying this, another one just came to mind. So I read a thing the other day about the O2 arena in London, you know, the UFC London card. I'm hearing that I'm pretty sure the event's already sold out, and that's not happening till I think March 16th in London. And that one is another card where you just have a bunch of high-level fights in different divisions, and there's no title on the line. But right now, the fans are somehow, you know, it's being received well by the fans to where, you know, tickets are flying off the shelves for that card, and you don't have any title on the line. The main event, you just have Darren Till and Masvidal, and which is a great fight. You know, I'm excited to see that. You know, that's going to be a really good one. But I just like the fact that, you know, the matchmakers are putting together good fights, and they're not just reaching for, you know, senseless title fights every time to make cards a big card. That card is exciting without any title. And that's just another example of what I'm liking seeing right now, is the fact you're just getting pure competition. I mean, you saw the back and forth between the guy Leon Edwards, who I'm not as familiar with. I know he fought Cowboy Cerrone. That was the only time I ever even heard of him, was when he was fighting Cowboy Cerrone. I had never even – his name never really got on my radar prior to that. And, you know, you saw the back and forth with him and Darren Till at the press conference they did for that card. And, you know, it's just little things like that. I'm just liking seeing guys chasing after other guys without it being guys chasing after who has the belt. Like Leon Edwards, I give him credit just for eyeing a fight with Darren Till just off the strength of competition. You know, he was telling him at the press conference, "You can't even box. You can't even box." I was like, let's go. I was so excited when you said that. I was like, come on, man. That's what I need to hear. You don't need to hear people talking all this shit, you know, saying a whole bunch of craziness, reaching, you know what I mean? Just going back and forth off the strength of competition, just talking about, I mean, and then at the same time, I got to bring up, you know, I got to bring this up. So my boy T-Wood at the other press conference, him going back and forth with, you know, T-Wood is the champion, so I guess it's a little different, but him going back and forth with Kamaru Usman at the press conference, and they didn't have to be talking shit about, you know, everybody's background life and all this stuff that you see, you know, pretty often. Tyron Woodley was saying, you know, they were just going back and forth, just talking straight competition. You know, he was saying, how are you gonna, you know, what are you gonna do? Out wrestle me? You're gonna outstrike me? I will knock you out. You know what I mean? And just he was going through, you're going to out-grapple me. He was going through all the different levels to where he felt like Usman couldn't match up with his skills. And that was just the stuff that we need to get back to seeing. I want to see guys just talking that stuff, going back and forth, just about the game, just talking about each other's skills. You're trying to just be better. It's off the strength of competition. And I'm just loving seeing that. And I might have went off on a tangent right there, but I just had to say it because I've been loving seeing that.
Well, I'm going to piggyback off that, and I'm going to give me and you props because evidently the UFC must listen to our show, because I know me and you had talked about the purpose of Fight Night cards, because remember I was like, remember me and you, I was like, well, Fight Night cards should be cards that you showcase two fighters in the top five, how they fight each other, you know, or two fighters in the top 10, they fight each other. You know, they get a little bit of publicity. You know, they get the main event on a UFC card. And we as fans, we get to know them a little better, you know. And as we could tell by these last couple of Fight Night cards, they've been bulked up with some pretty good fights, man, with some big names on them. And, you know, and I think that's what the UFC Fight Night should be used for. It should be used to get the casual, now I ain't gonna say the casual fan, the UFC fan or fan of MMA, let them get to know these fairly unknown guys. Let us showcase them guys on Fight Night. Just like tonight, you know, a lot of people don't know about Moicano. A lot of people don't know about David Taymor, Marlon Moraes, a Sun Sal. You know, people might know the name, but they might have never ever seen a fight. And the UFC, by doing these, definitely these fight-based Fight Night cards, is definitely awesome for us as the fan. But getting back to the press conference, you know, it was great to see Tyron and Usman going at it. But what I took off that out of that press conference is Ben Askren is trying so hard to be a guy. He's trying so hard to ingratiate himself with the UFC fans. Dog, know your role, man. Go up there, answer the questions that you ask. Let your fighting do the talking for you. Don't go up there and try to make yourself a bigger star than you already than you think you are. I mean, people like Keys know about Ben Askren. Myself personally, I really don't know about him. All I know is he's fought around the world. I guess he's undefeated. He's never been on the biggest stage, and the biggest stage of all is the UFC. And the reason that he hasn't been in the UFC is because Dana White finds his fighting style boring. So, win a couple fights, dude, and then come holler at us, you know. And then you could talk a little bit. But don't try to talk your way into being a star. As you can see, it works for some people, talking your way into being a star, and for other people it doesn't. Case in point is Conor McGregor. He talked his way into being a star. He talked his way into a $100 million fight. But at the same time, he was winning. Look at Colby Covington. He done talked so much that Dana White and the UFC don't even respect him no more. You know, I think if he was to lose his next fight, the UFC might cut him. They look at him as he could be replaced. So, but I'm happy about this Fight Night card. It's definitely stacked. I saw one of the fights got canceled. One of the female fights got canceled. But that's no big deal because I think for me and you, we look at the females division, and basically until the UFC does something drastic as far as making a 140 and a 130 division or something like that, the women's fights are just going to be blah, 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 because they don't have enough superstars to captivate the UFC fan. I mean, Nunez is a star. Cyborg is a star. You know, Holly Holm is okay. Megan Anderson, she's supposed to be a star, but she lost to Holly Holm. You know, Joanna, you know, she's not even a champion no more. Rose, we haven't seen her fight in forever and a day. And, you know, it is what it is. So, but I'm very pleased with the UFC fight nights here lately. And I think they need to send me your stipend because we've been preaching for the UFC fight nights to be used as a showcase like this. And they finally doing what we suggested.
The one thing that you said that stuck out to me was earlier on. The difference that I want to just point out about Ben Askren is I think it's funny that Dana White has always felt his fighting style was so boring. But yet you have one of the most boring fighters of all time as like one of your, like, you are spotlighting him. He is one of your biggest spotlights right now. They put him even number two on the pound for pound list. One of the most snooze of a fighter. And they have the audacity to call Ben Askren boring. You want me to tell you what the difference is? Ben Askren's a wrestler too, very high level wrestler. The difference about them two guys is that Khabib goes in there, okay, and he wrestles guys and he keeps you on the mat. You know, his pressure is insane. But the difference is this, you know, he exhausts guys. That's great, okay. Khabib can go five rounds. His gas tank is pretty impressive. That's great, okay. But the thing is this, Ben Askren actually finishes fights. When's the last time Khabib, besides McGregor, because it's not that difficult to make McGregor tap out. I'm not impressed by him submitting McGregor. People make that seem like that's some huge feat. He's like the fourth guy to make McGregor tap out. I'm not impressed by that. You get hardly any stock by submitting McGregor at this point. I really don't care. Okay, if someone wants to knock out McGregor, then I'll give you some stock. Because he's still a tough guy. And I'm getting a little irritated with the disrespect lately. But I'm not even going to jump into that right now. When's the last time that Khabib finished somebody in the UFC before McGregor? I'll wait. Because I don't even remember. Has he ever even finished anybody in the UFC?
I don't think so either.
Even gotten a finish. That might have been his first finish in the UFC. Every time I've seen him fight lately, in at least like his
always
last three or four fights, is always a decision. The difference between him and Ben Askren, and I can't wait for this to be seen. Okay, I'm a big fan of Robbie Lawler. I was rooting for him in his last fight, even though I truly believed that Dos Anjos was gonna best him, because Dos Anjos was just on a tear at that time, and I really didn't think, you know, in Dos Anjos' last three or four fights, he was just really getting the best of all his opponents. I didn't think anyone could stop him on that little run that he had. You know, I was rooting for Lawler, but and as much as I'm a fan of him, I do think Ben Askren will beat Robbie Lawler. And I can't wait for this to be seen, because Ben Askren finishes his opponents. You know, he's a wrestler that actually goes for the finish, and he finishes the fight. If you go look at most of his fights in ONE Championship, he has mostly finishes, mostly TKO finishes. Against, you know, former champions. So he's a high-level guy, high-level wrestler. And he ain't a, you know, you can call his style boring, but then I don't understand how you could say that and then go get hyped for a Khabib fight where he has a very similar style, but only it's much more of a snooze of a fight, because he never looks to finish the fight. He just, for some reason, wants to lay on top of guys and talk to their coaches. He always talks about talking to their coaches, man. No one cares if you're talking to their coaches, bro. All right, I'm done. I can't. I'm going too far into this. I'm leaving it right there, because I can't. I have nothing good to say.
Actually, I totally agree with you, because it's a difference between wrestling somebody to submit them and wrestling somebody to outpoint them. I think when you wrestle somebody to submit them or finish them, it makes the fight more entertaining to watch, whereas you just man-humping somebody for five rounds. I mean, I just can't get into that. So the manhunt thing is definitely not in my things to watch. But if you all about the finish, I can live with that. So, but like I said, I want to see what this Askren guy all about. I never seen him fight. And we'll see what happens. When is that? Next weekend or 2 weeks from now? So we'll see what happens.
I think that card is on March 2nd.
That's March 2nd.
Yeah, so it's like, yeah, March 2nd. So that fight's about a month away.
So it's a month away. Yep.
Yeah. But that's a really stacked card too. I mean, it's pretty crazy. I mean, I don't. The fact you have John Jones, I mean, he just got cleared for the one-day, one-fight license by Nevada. So now you have him fighting Anthony Smith. One thing I want to say is, yo, you guys are killing me with the Anthony Smith hate. I understand. No, the likelihood of it is John Jones beats Anthony Smith. I understand. But everyone's shoving it down everyone's throat. You guys are killing me with this. Anthony Smith, hey, he ain't that bad. Like, people make it, like, John Jones is one of the greatest fighters we ever seen. Anthony Smith ain't that bad. He was one of the best options for this title fight. I can't imagine another guy who would I can think of that would probably have compete more with John Jones at this point. I mean, besides like a few guys that I'm like waiting to see afterwards, like Thiago Santos is another one, and there's another one off the top that you named before. I think Dominic Reyes. And
yeah, and then you said Johnny Walker.
Yeah, I said Johnny Walker too, which actually, speaking of Johnny Walker, he's on the card tonight. So based on if Johnny Walker wins tonight, then I think that, I mean, he does, as far as I know, he's not fighting like a high, I almost said high level. It's not that he's not fighting a high level opponent. He's not fighting like a notable opponent. Like the guy he's fighting, I don't think I've ever seen fight before. I didn't recognize his name. I think I've seen him on a card, but I've never actually seen his skill set, so I don't know. I mean, he could be a high level guy. It's just that Johnny Walker could definitely have like a. He's still going to work.
Some people predict
him. He's still early.
Some people predicting Ledet to win, to beat Johnny Walker. I've seen a couple predictions on Twitter, and a couple people got him winning tonight. But it's like with me, I don't think people are shortchanging Anthony Smith Keys. I think people know that you can't be a one-dimensional fighter and beat John Jones, because John has such a diverse skill set that if you're a striker, guess what he's going to do? He's going to take you down. If you're a wrestler, guess what he's going to do? He's going to keep the fight on his feet, and he's going to use his reach. So I think that's the part that people – they look at Jones as being a more rounded fighter than Smith, but anybody can get caught, you know, anybody can get clipped and get finished. So, I think John will probably keep his distance on Smith. He'll probably, fight at distance and, you know, probably use his wrestling a little bit more in this fight. And I think his elbows will probably be more in play this fight than they were last fight against Gustafson. I think you'll probably see more of the John Jones you saw against Rashad Evans when he fight Anthony Smith. I think he's going to basically be more technical this time with Smith. But I think Smith has a fight. He has a puncher's chance. Every fighter has a puncher's chance. But
what about the John Jones? Yo, what do you think is the likelihood we see the John Jones when you know, when he crawls in like a spider, like he literally crawls across the octagon, he's still like, he almost looks like he's, who is it that he fought? It's when he fought, what's his name from Brazil, man? He just like got cut from the UFC.
Vitor Belfort.
Yeah. What's the chance we see the John Jones when he fought Belfort and he crawled towards Belfort, literally to the side of the octagon? John Jones was almost still on all fours. And Belfort went for the low head kick. Like Belfort was squaring up, but like he was facing downwards. Remember that?
Yeah, he paid for that though.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did. Well, that's
he
what I'm saying.
Paying for
like,
that.
What if John Jones
you
crawls
know,
across the octagon like a spider? Anthony Smith.
No, I don't think he would do that. I think That was like one of the old things he used to do when he would just come low, keep one hand on the mat, and you know, and then he would stand up. It was like something I think he stole from actually Anderson Silva, I want to say.
Yeah,
I think he stole it from Anderson Silva, but I don't think he does that anymore. But this tonight's card I'm so excited for because you have so many guys who are up and coming, who can be big stars in the UFC, and they being showcased tonight. And I love that about this card tonight. And like I said, I think the UFC listened to our show, Keys, because I know me and you have been preaching about this, especially with it being so many UFC events that we thought the fight night card should be used this way.
Yeah, man, they've really changed. I feel like the product has really, you know, in the past couple, like, you know, 2-3 months, like the fight cards have really changed a lot. And especially in the new year, just the matchmaking I'm seeing is just getting so crazy. You know, a lot of young guys and young women, you know, getting big shots. I mean, they were trying to make the Holly Holm and Aspen Ladd fight, which I'm pretty sure is canceled at this point. You know, Dana White said at the press conference that fight. Yeah, he said at the press conference that they're finding, like, you know, alternate fights for both of those girls. Now I'm hearing rumors that they're taking Holm away so she can fight. Yeah, I'm hearing rumors of that, so we'll see if that's the case. But I mean, at the very basics of it, I was liking the idea of it. You know, just and that's a theme that they're kind of following at this point. I mean, you have a similar fight with you know, Damian Myers fighting a, you know, up and coming guy tonight too, because, you know, Damian Myers had to. He's trying to get back in the win column, so they're giving him a fairly new guy. I don't think the guy he's fighting has even – I feel like the guy he's fighting was in Bellator, like, previously. I don't think he has many fights in the UFC, the guy. If he does, then I must not have been paying attention, my bad. But, yeah, Damian Myers fighting, like, an up-and-coming guy tonight, trying to get back in the win column because he's had a really – he's looked really bad in, like, his past, like, last three fights. He's gotten pretty much dominated. I mean – some would argue, but I think he kind of got dominated. I don't know. I mean, his game plan just has not worked. I mean, the style that he has used to beat a lot of top guys, top welterweights in the past, is not beating today's top welterweights. And
nope.
We see that happen a lot. Like, same thing with Ronda Rousey. You know, it's the game plan. I mean, it's a little different with Rousey because she actually kind of changed what she was doing and what skills she was trying to utilize, because before, I mean, she was beating a lot of girls by submission, you know, that nasty arm bar that she has. I mean, that she kind of steered away from using that and tried to, you know, get better with her boxing. And she finished a couple girls, but then, you know, it caught up to her because she ended up running into a wall when she found girls who had superior striking to hers, you know, much better boxing than hers, you know, like Amanda Nunes. And that was when she ran into a wall with that game plan. So, I mean, it's similar to that. And I lost my train of thought of what I was honestly just saying, but I feel like
that's
of a point.
I feel what you're saying. But then piggyback on what you said about Damian Maia and fighters like him, if your plan A doesn't work, what's your plan B and plan C? If you don't have a plan B and plan C, you can't win. Damian Maia, if he don't take you down, he can't win. That is, and looking at his past couple fights, it's been proven that if he can't take you down, he cannot win because he's not a good striker. His chin is suspect, and he don't know what to do basically on his feet. So that's why you have to be a well-rounded fighter in today's MMA. And on a previous show, me and you talked about the wrestler versus the striker. It seemed like the wrestler always wins because the wrestler can still probably stand and bang a little bit, probably still got a little bit of punch of power, but he can always rely on his wrestling to subdue what the striker can do. And if you're a one-trick pony in today's MMA, in today's UFC, your career will be real short. Because once people see that you can only do one thing, they're going to exploit that. They're not going to let you do that one thing, and then they're just going to use your weakness as their strength. Derrick Lewis, for example. Derrick Lewis can't wrestle. Francis Ngannou can't wrestle. But they'll knock your damn head off your shoulders if you let them. So when Derrick Lewis fought DC, you saw that. DC wasn't going to stand there and bang with him because DC know he didn't have a chance. So what did he do? He took him down. He wrestled him. The same thing with Rumble Johnson. He took him down and wrestled him. So I think nowadays guys and girls need to be more well-rounded in mixed martial arts. You can't be a one-trick pony because the skilled fighters will exploit you and they'll make you look bad in the octagon.
That's absolutely right. It's similar to what you said in a previous show. It's just saying that, you know, similar to what you're saying now is that, You know, you can't be a one-trick pony anymore because guys are too diverse, and you know, the new wave of fighters, they're trained to have everything. So, and once one guy exposes your one weakness, and they show everybody, look, if you don't let this guy take you down, or this guy gasses out after two rounds, or you know, if you can make it through the flurries in the first round, kind of like Ngannou. Kind of like Stipe did with Ngannou. If you can make it through, you know, his flurry of punches in the first round and then get him to the mat in the second round, the guy's going to be exhausted and you just got to wrestle him. And when that happens, you know, it's good to see because, you know, guys should, like you said in previous shows, guys should want to be more well-rounded and, instead of, you know, looking for fights that that will help them because they know they can win.
Yep.
You know, because that's not going to get you very far because eventually you're going to have to fight the guys who will expose your weaknesses and they are even a higher level than the guys who have already beaten you by ways of which they can beat you as well. So if you're going to lose to like a high-level submission artist, but then another guy's a submission artist and, you know, he's a two-time world champion, this guy's going to keep doing that and he's going to tap you even faster. So you got to... Guys should want to work on submission defense and takedown defense. I mean, one guy who really showed us that a lot and I want to bring up is Ally Kinta in his last fight with Kevin Lee. Look at the submission defense that he showed in that fight. I mean, I thought Kevin Lee had him down and out. I thought Kevin Lee had him out of there in probably two or three moments. You know, you know, he almost put a choke. He almost had Iaquinta locked in under the neck a couple times. Iaquinta almost gave up his neck, but he defended the submission and, you know, he got back to his feet every time and he knew that was where he was going to excel. I mean, but see, Iaquinta, you know, he should want to get to a point where he's the guy, you know, looking for the neck and, you know, kind of take some of what Kevin Lee is doing and be able to exert that on your opponent. He should want to get those skills to be able to do that as well, and not just run from it. But the one thing that he has that I can give props to is at least knowing how to defend in those situations to get himself out of it and get back to his area. Because to not know how to defend it and just keep going in there and getting dominated, like you're gonna keep on getting matched up with top you know high level wrestlers. And you don't have they're bringing you to the mat, you know, after 5 minutes, and you don't have the takedown defense. You need to at least work on the defensive side of it if you're going to go up in the UFC today, because guys are just way too well rounded. It's really crazy.
Yeah, and man, I mean, you made an excellent point with even if you're not good in wrestling, you should be good at defending. And getting able to get back on your feet, being able to sprawl, you know, and stuff like that. But, you know, a lot of guys, once they get on the mat, you'll just see them, basically, you'll see them quit. Rumble Johnson quit. Conor McGregor quit. You just see guys quit when they get on the mat, man. And you can't quit. You just got to, you know, you got to dig deep, sprawl around. Hopefully your opponent makes a mistake. But like you said with Iaquinta, every time Kevin Lee got him down, you know, he found a way to defend it, to work his way back to his feet. You know, he was always moving. And that's simply all grappling and wrestling is in the UFC. You just got to better defend yourself on your back. Don't just give yourself up and once they take your back, you just get your neck up and you quick tap. I mean, that's BS. You know, just have a little bit more heart. But, you know, the UFC, man, is in a great place. I think we are past the days where you have your one-trick ponies. I think most of the guys in today's game are well-rounded. I mean, Adesanya, he's a freak. Our boy Bobby Knuckles, he's a freak. I mean, people look at him, they just think of his knockouts, but let's think of his cardio. Bobby Knuckles is a guy that can go maybe 5 to 7 rounds in a fight. The guy
he hasn't been finished in 5 years.
Right.
Look who he's fought and not been finished by.
Yeah, man. So, you know, man, we're in a good day and age in the UFC and mixed martial arts. Like I was saying on the last show, I can't wait to see what one championship does, what they bring to the table. I'm not a big fan of Bellator, but I did make a promise to a guy on Twitter that their next fight card, I will actually watch it. So hopefully that's the one with Paul Sintek Daly on it and Michael Page. So hopefully that's that one. Hey, man, let's jump into this card tonight.
Yeah, let me think about this because I think I know at least the main card off the top. I couldn't tell you who's on the prelims off the top. I haven't looked at the full card, but I know you have you got the Johnny Walker and I think a Justin Leydig fight. You have Damian Maia versus Lehman Good. You have Aldo and Moicano fight, and there's two more. Then the Marlon Moraes and Rafael Dos Anjos, and there's one more on the main card too that I'm forgetting.
Charles Oliveira and David Taymor.
Taymor. I'm excited to see Oliveira again. Didn't he just fight? I swear he just fought like a month ago.
It seems like there's a million Oliveiras in the UFC, dog.
That's a really good point. That is so true. So. Really, every time there's an Oliveira on the card, I think think that he just fought because one of the Oliveiras just fought because there is
Cowboy
a handful.
Cowboy Oliveira.
that's the same guy,
it was
right?
Cowboy
didn't,
Oliveira.
Didn't he just fight Jim
Charles
Miller?
Charles Oliveira. Was that Cowboy Oliveira that just fought Jim Miller? Yeah, I think that was Cowboy Oliveira that fought Jim Miller.
Is that the Oliveira that's fighting tonight?
Nah, this is a different one.
Oh, man. Right, I'm confused now. I don't know. I don't know who's the one that just recently fought. So maybe this guy hasn't fought in a while. But I think I'm excited to see him. I think I am.
I am. Charles Oliveira, he's exciting. He goes for finishes. He's a submission artist. He's a vet. And David Taymor is a beast too. So this is a hell of a scrap they got tonight going on. So because David Taymor, he's 8-1 and Oliveira is 25-8. So you basically got the vet going against the youngster, especially in experience. So we'll see what happens, man. So what fight are you looking forward to tonight, bro? What fight you just that you definitely gonna be watching?
So someone asked me that, and someone asked me that on Twitter, and I actually said all of them. I'm looking forward to all of them, but no, man, I think that's the same Oliveira. All right, you know, we'll get back to that in a second because I just pulled up his picture, and I swear that's the same guy that just fought Jim Miller. But anyways, I'm looking forward to all of them because you have there's this women's strawweight fight that the girl was like overweight by like 7 or 8 pounds.
7 pounds.
So I don't even know if that's 7 pounds.
I think they canceled it.
Yeah, so I hope that fight's not happening. That's not fair.
They did cancel it. She got to forfeit 40% of her fight purse.
Yeah, because I mean, if she wins, it's kind of ridiculous. You know, you're coming in so much bigger than this girl. You know, you're supposed to be fighting at 115, so the max is 116. So she's coming like 123 or 124. That's just crazy. Yeah, so I don't really know. I don't know who's on the prelims, to be honest with you. Usually I do, but with like this new UFC website, to be honest, I don't even know how to get to the prelims. Yeah, I don't really even know how to get to the prelims. They got the dude Max. Okay, here I go. They got the guy Max Griffin on there that fought Mike Perry. Max Griffin beat Mike Perry really bad. That was just embarrassing. That's probably the only guy.
Yeah, he fought Thiago Alves.
Yeah, I think I've seen both of them guys fight. I don't know if I've seen these other guys. Yeah, I don't
Yeah, there's
know.
only two names up here that I know. Thiago Alves and Junior Albini. They're the only two names that I know. I know they said that this female scrap between Barella and Santos. They were saying that's supposed to be a good fight. I know they were talking it up last night on the weigh-in show, but I'm really not
Oh, that's a
basically excited
flyweight.
about none of these fights.
Oh,
Yeah,
Junior
about none of
Albini,
the fights on the freeway.
isn't that guy that wore the diaper? Did he wear a diaper before in his last fight? I swear he did.
Oh, man.
Yo, he really was. You got to look it up. Oh, yeah, he's a heavyweight. That's the guy. I'm telling you, that's the guy. Because I remember he was a big dude. I was like, yo, I think they had to have been heavyweights. Cause I remember the dude, there was two big dudes in there, and I swear he was wearing a diaper. but anyways, okay, so let me get it together. Okay, so off the main card, I'm probably most looking forward to probably Johnny Walker and Justin Laethys, to be honest with you. That's probably my big fight for the night, because I really just want to see. I mean, the Justin Laethys guy, I don't think I've seen him fight before, so I want to see what he brings to the table. And then Johnny Walker, I mean, he's only had one fight in the UFC, so I can't really – I mean, I hyped him a little bit, but I can't really hype him a little bit more until I see a couple more big wins from him. I need to see more of his game and being able to last. And I need to see what's his gas tank like. Because I only seen him fight one round. So I need to see, you know, if somebody could take him into deep waters, how is he going to handle that and things like that. So I just need to see him go through some different situations. And that's probably why that fight's, you know, my one that I'm the most excited for tonight. What about you?
I think the fight I want to see tonight is Charles Oliveira and David Taylor. I'm definitely looking forward to that fight because, you know, the UFC always likes to hype up these young guys, and I think David Taylor is one of the guys they're trying to hype up. So you know how they always, like, try to put them guys against, like, a crappy veteran. So I think Charles Oliveira would definitely be a good fight for him to see where he's at. And I think if he can beat Charles Oliveira, you know, I'd like to see him fight a top 15 guy next, and we'll see what happens. I'm definitely want to see your guy Johnny Walker, because I'm really not familiar with him. I mean, his record is outstanding, but you really can't go off of 15-3. How many of those fights was in the UFC? How many of those fights was at the local rec center? So, you know, we got to see what he does against, you know, legit UFC competition. So, yeah, I'm definitely looking for Oliveira versus Tamar. That's the fight that I want to see. And, you know, I'm just excited for that fight.
So what about your predictions? Who do you think – you think Johnny Walker can get it done? Or –
you know, he's Brazilian, and he's fighting in Brazil. And normally most Brazilian fighters normally do pretty well in Brazil, except if they fight Kevin Gastelum.
That's a really good
just
point.
Something about Kevin. Man, Kevin Gastelum, man, when he fights you in your home country, it seems like he always wins. So I'm going to go with Johnny Walker. I think he gets it done tonight. I think Ledet probably be a game opponent. So, but I think Johnny Walker is on a mission to prove that he's worthy in the 205 division, which is a division that's really outside of John Jones. You really don't know which guys can, you know, step up and probably get him a fight. So let's see what Johnny Walker can do tonight.
Yeah, I'm probably going to roll with him too, because you know, if he can – that tie clinch that he had Khalil Rountree in the last fight, it was devastating. And I hope this guy – I hope Justin Laethys don't fall into that trap in this one. I hope he has some other tricks up his sleeve so he can stop it. But I don't know, that thing was scary. That finish, Johnny Walker's finish at round three was just so scary, and I can't. It's hard for me to bet against him after that, you know, debut performance. When he came in, I was like, wow, you know. I was talking with my friend, and we were setting up DraftKings lineups, and I was just looking at him like, wow, bro, are you gonna take the debut fighter? I'm like, you know, UFC debuts don't always do so good. You know, they face the top level competition. They come in here and, you know, coming from backyard boxing, and then they come to the UFC and they usually get pieced up in their debut. So he's like, nah, man, I'm going with the 0-0 in the UFC. I got faith. And then, cause I picked Roundtree, and then, you know, after seeing what he did to him, I was like, oh man. So I can't, you know, I was wrong last time. I can't bet against this guy this time. So yeah, I think Walker's going to get it done too.
Yeah. So, all right, let's go ahead up, man. Let's go Charles Oliveira versus David Tamer. Who you got?
The odds are really crazy. This is, like, some of the closest odds I've seen in a while. Both the guys are technically the favorite, and Oliveira is a minus 120, and Tamer is a minus 110. So that's
so
extremely close odds. Yeah, that's a very, wow, very, very crazy. Man, I don't know, because I'm really not – I feel like I've seen Tamer fight before, but I just can't remember what he specializes in and what he brings to the table. I'm more familiar with Oliveira, and I've seen him recently. I mean, it's kind of hard to judge Oliveira off his last fight, because I'm pretty sure this is the same Oliveira that fought Jim Miller like a month ago. I could be wrong. It might be a different guy, but I think this might be the same guy. And, man, I guess it's hard to judge off that, because I feel like I knew he was going to go in there and do what he did and get Jim Miller out of it, you know, pretty quick. That was the first round submission. So I guess I can't really judge him off that. I mean, because it's Jim Miller. The guy's had like 50 fights in the UFC. I mean, goddamn, he's got like probably one of the most, some of the most fights in the UFC out of anybody. So the guy was definitely a little bit on the washed up side. I don't know. I guess I'll go with Oliveira because I'm more familiar with the guys. I mean, maybe Tamor's got something that I just don't know about, and we'll see that because these odds are extremely close. There's got to be a reason for that.
I think the reason why it's close is because both guys. I'm not gonna say they have the same fighting style, but I think they're looking at the guys' records, and if you basically put their records side by side, basically they bought the same views to project Tamer out to 20 some fights like Oliveira. But I'm gonna take Oliveira, man. I think he's gonna pull it out. He's fighting in Brazil. He's Brazilian. I think he is a little bit more well rounded than Tamer. So I think he gets it done tonight. I don't know whether or not it'll be in devastating fashion, but if he does win, it'll probably be by submission or decision. So I'm going with Charles Oliveira, man.
So the next one I want to ask you about is Damian Maia and Lehman Good. How do you feel about that one?
Okay.
I know how you feel about Damian Maia, so.
Nah. But I'm going to go back to something you said earlier. I think the UFC giving him an opponent that he should beat to get him back in the win column. So I think he goes out and he establishes his ground game. And I think he out-wrestles Lehman Good. I think Lehman Good is going to try to come in and use the game plan that Willie, Covington, and Usman use as far as, like, using great takedown defense and throwing punches. I don't know about this Lehman Good guy, and I'm thinking that he's probably not in the same class as Damian Maia, so I think Damian Maia wins by submission against Lehman Good.
Yeah, because one thing is, you know, I saw a statistic the other day, and it was saying that Damian Maia is 0-49 in his last three fights, 0-49 on takedowns.
And takedowns.
He has failed. He's lost 49 takedown attempts. So when you say that, I mean, it really definitely influences, like, a you know, kind of to give a look towards Damian Maia, like, wow, this guy might really not have it anymore. But then again, you know, I feel like he's fighting a much lower level guy than what who he's fought in his last three, which, you know, them three guys are higher level guys at welterweight. I mean, Woodley and Usman's the number one contender, and Colby was the number one contender. You know, I get there's still some debate about how good he really is, but I mean, that's yet to be seen. I just think this guy, like I said, is someone they put in there so to get Maya back in the win column. So I'll probably be taking Maya for this fight as well. I see him wrapping around this guy in probably the first or second round. He's going to be on him like a spider. And I see him getting a finish probably by before the end of the second round.
Yeah, I think he wins also. It's definitely going to be by submission. So, all right, man. Co-main event. We got Jose Aldo versus Renato Moicano. Who you got?
So this fight, I think, is probably the most – out of the whole night, I think this one's probably the most – at least for me, I can speak on my behalf. This one's the most unpredictable fight of the night because I really don't know.
Exactly.
I mean, I know for one, the last time that I had the bet on Aldo, I took him – I took Jeremy Stevens to beat Aldo, and Aldo ended up landing a – super clean body shot. He gave a kick to the body or something like that versus Jeremy Stevens.
Yeah, it was a,
kick to the midsection on Jeremy Stevens, and he just you could tell he was maybe he wasn't rocked, but he was done. The guy, his body was just crippling up, and you could just see him. He was folding. You know, once that first shot landed, and then it was just a matter of time. He got finished shortly after that, and you know. Long story short, I put the odds against Aldo, and you know this guy only loses to really really high level guys. I mean, in his last Aldo's last
three losses.
His last three. You know, out of his last five fights, I mean, he's fought McGregor, he fought Holloway twice. You know, he was 0-3 in those. But I mean, McGregor and Holloway are both like you know all time great fighters. In my opinion. Anyways, and then no, he beat Edgar and Jeremy Stevens, you know, two other high level featherweights. So I mean, he's 2-3 in his last five fights, if I'm not missing anything. You know, Moicano has been impressive lately, but you know, there's still things from Moicano that are yet to be seen. I mean, Aldo's got a lot more experience than him, and he's fought you know pretty much the who's who in featherweight for a long time. I mean, Aldo. Ever since WEC has been fighting all the high level guys, and you know he held the featherweight belt for a long time. I think it was like 10 years or something like that. So, yeah, the first featherweight champion ever. I don't know. I mean, Moicano, you know, he could surprise me, but at the same time, Aldo, it's hard for me to bet against Aldo. I'm probably gonna go with Aldo. I mean, if any of my picks there's gonna be an upset, it'll probably be this fight, and Moicano will get it done. But I'm going to put my bets on Aldo because the last time I doubted Aldo, he shocked me in a big way. Shocked me in a big way versus Jeremy Stevens. How do you feel about it?
But I think one thing everybody forgetting in the Jeremy Stevens fight, Jeremy Stevens did hurt him. Jeremy Stevens did hurt him. And Aldo was retreating. And then he actually caught Stevens coming in with that leg kick and buckled over. And Booker Stevens over. So it wasn't like it was a clean fight that Aldo won against Stevens. You know what I'm saying? So he did get hurt in that fight. Everything in me is telling me to pick Moicano, but being that he's fighting in Brazil, I'm going with Aldo, man. I think fighting in Brazil, he always is put on good shows there in Brazil. So I'm gonna tell you Aldo, man. I think the kicking will be back tonight. I think you know he said he wasn't kicking in his last in the Holloway fight because he said his legs something was wrong with his legs and that's why he couldn't use his kicks as much. So, but I'm gonna tell you Aldo, man. I think you know experience fighting in Brazil. I think he wants to get himself back in the title hunt, even though as long as my man Max is the champ, it's not going to happen for him. So I think Aldo wants to go out on in a blaze. So he probably want to win probably his next two or three fights because he did say 2019, this is last year. So even though I think McConnell is going to be a game opponent, I'm going with Aldo, man. I think Aldo gets it done tonight.
Yeah, and one thing I want to add, too, is that McConnell is actually Brazilian as well. So this is a Brazil versus Brazil fight. So it could be, in terms of the home turf, it's both of their home turf. So they're both going to have that energy in Brazil tonight. So we'll see how that one goes. You know, last but not least is the main event, you know, what I think to be a title eliminator fight for the bantamweights, Rafael Assunção versus Marlon Moraes. You know, I'm just going to go right off and just go right. You know, my pick, not going to waste any time. I think I got Marlon Moraes, but it's going to be a finish, either TKO or KO within the first three rounds. I think before the end of the third round, Moraes is going to knock him out. So that's my prediction. I have no doubts about it.
I'm going the same way because I've been on the Marlon Moraes hype train for a little while now, and I think he gets it done tonight. Assunção's a tough guy, man, so I don't know whether or not he knocks him out. I'm going to say Moraes wins by decision, man, because Assunção is a tough guy. He's not that exciting of a fighter, but he puts on good performances. But I'm taking Marlon Moraes to win and beat TJ's next opponent for the bantamweight belt. So I'm going with Moraes, man, because I've been driving his hype train for about 6 months now. So I was on the Jimmy Rivera hype train for a minute, and then that got derailed by Marlon Moraes. So, you know, I'm now the conductor of the Moraes hype train. So rolling with Moraes tonight.
All right, there you have it. We'll have to see what happens. The predictions are all in, and we're just waiting for the fights tonight. So, you know, me and Lee will probably hook up and get a contest. You know, we'll get together and get a contest going for DraftKings. You know, have to go head-to-head. I mean, a lot of these, I think we picked the same guys, so we'll see how that works out. But, yeah, anyways, everybody, enjoy. That's really all I got. Everybody enjoy the fights tonight. Stay positive. And the floor is yours.
Yeah, everybody have fun, man. Everybody be safe. Enjoy the fights. You know, hit us up on Twitter. You know, me and Keys will be out there probably tweeting about the fights. As soon as I got the phone, as soon as I got the call on the show, I'm about to go sign up for my ESPN, Plus, so I can watch the fights tonight. Everybody have fun. Be safe. Take care of each other. To my man Keys, have a good day out, man. Hey, you pulled through today. You actually did better than you thought you were going to do.
And guess so.
Yeah, man. So, in closing, like always, peace.